Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DeTellier, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 7 o'clock, and then we'll have our Saints Hour in the 7 o'clock hour on the Saints Radio Network. Waiting for Bobby April, the former we got Bobby on the line with us. Bobby, long
yes, sir. How you doing, Mike?
All right, Bob, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, it's going good. Going good.
Bobby, what was the feeling last night to watch the Tigers win that national championship? I know you and I have talked so many times about Coach O and that opportunity and making the most of it, but that's got to be a special feeling to see everything transform the way it is, 15-0, only the second team in college football history to go 15-0. Clemson did it a year ago. You beat the defending national champs, beat seven teams in the top 10 this year, and the four top teams in the AP when they opened the season, when you consider beating Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia. Got to be great.
Well, I you know, history will probably bear it out. It's probably the greatest football team ever. Right now, that's kind of hard to decipher. But I would say it is. And last night was electric for the people that were there, and I know for the state, people watching. It was just a great deal, a culmination of, you know, really a lot of work, and a lot of talent by the whole LSU organization.
Now, Coach April, you working with special teams and you know, consulting and helping with LSU and Coach McMahon and all that. Just talk about that relationship, and that you got to check your ego at the door. Y'all tugging, you know, y'all pulling the same way, and you have the same goals. Just talk about maybe your impact and when in the meeting room and put your two cents in there, maybe to have that edge, because it's all about you can have a great player versus a great player, but maybe a technique here or there can make all the difference.
Well, you know, my contributions are very, very small. But I think what you're asking kind of goes throughout the whole organization. If there was ever a personification of one team, one heartbeat, it's LSU. It is a special, special, special team. You know, for me to go in there and work with Greg, talking about checking egos, I mean, all across the board, you have a lot of guys that have, you know, Steve Ensminger
right.
has been, you know, we brought in Joe Brady. There's a Bill Johnson, you know, he elevated him right in two-a-days. And if you look at all those guys that are on that staff, from the young guys that are GAs all the way up to Coach O, I mean, they're like in a Terminator cyborg named Smith. They just keep coming and coming and just pounding and grinding. And he has got a gift of genius for knowing people, and he has made the right fits on all his hires, on all his decisions on who to bring. Everybody he's had there that he's replaced have been great coaches. But he knows people, and he knew the right fit for him. This is such a special team. I saw Ed Daniels last night before the game. Of course, I'm in a different position than being there totally coaching with the players and getting ready for schemes. I told Ed when he asked me what I thought about the game tonight, and I said, there's not a chance in hell that Clemson's got a chance. There's not a chance in hell they'll win this game. This team checks all the boxes of all superlatives. I mean the best in football. I think Ed right now is the best. You know, he, because of his toughness and his energy, that gets the exclamation point all the time. But he has done a phenomenal job, of all the other parts are just superlatives. That's all you can say. And the players, you can't – this is such a special team. There was no chance anybody was going to beat them this year, including, Mike, what you said about, you know, the top four ranked teams. It didn't matter how many five stars Clemson had. This team is special. I mean, this team and this coaching staff is special. I'm eating up all the time, but, you know, where are you going to go to get another Tommy Moffitt unless it's Tommy Moffitt?
Right.
You know how special that strength staff is?
Yep.
I mean, can anybody beat those guys? It's amazing. Jack Marucci, they got the
– Man, what Jack does behind the scenes – Bobby, you can maybe talk about it.
Behind the scenes is unbelievable.
Nobody realizes how much impact Jack has had. And, you know, he can tell you if a wide receiver is right eye.
Or left eye dominant.
Dominated. Yeah. I mean, that sort of stuff, you know, you talk about analytics and actually giving you good information. What Jack does is remarkable.
And you know what? Bebe's humble enough to listen. Coach O's humble enough. And like, hey, whatever it takes to get the job done. And, you know, is that too many coaches? You know, the one thing, Coach Abreu, I think you could comment on this, is that the one thing I notice about Coach O and look at his progression as a coach, you know what you know, and then you have to realize what you don't know. And what I mean by that, listen, you learn constantly. You're constantly learning. But what's your wheelhouse? Obviously, we know he's always been – if not the best recruit in the nation, he's in that
right.
conversation. He knows defensive
no
line. Okay, so what maybe I don't know? We'll just communicate and hire the best in those other areas and then let them do their job. That's what I've noticed about Coach O. Is, again, like Coach Ensminger, where he's at and calling plays and all, that, hey, it's not all about me. It's about me because I have a lot of responsibility, but it's truly a team effort. When you talk about one heartbeat, that's not just words. That's actually a vision, and that's actually what occurs.
Yeah, if ever a team could, which is in football, you know, because there's so many people, there's so many dynamics. But if you could personify what that statement is, it's living and breathing at LSU right now. And they have really done a phenomenal job. And I mean from the, you know, from – the equipment guy, string fellow, they just are out there with energy, with enthusiasm. It's just on such a high mark. Nobody could beat that team this year. Nobody could, and nobody did. Nobody did. And you talk about well prepared, and the coaching level. I mean, he's got analysts that are you know, that have been coordinators and great football minds that are his analysts, and these young guys that provide the energy and run the card squad. They're working. I mean, it's a machine right now. It's just a machine. And it's a football factory. You go there in the offseason, they're visiting with coaches from all over the country. They're bringing people in. They're talking about very small detailed things that make a big difference. I mean, it's just a machine. And the thing, when you marry that to great character players, and certainly they're talented, but they're some of the finest young men you'll ever be around. It's so special, you just can't beat it. I mean, you can try, but nobody
right.
has that many things going in every single area where you can top LSU right now, and it's proven. I was hoping it was going to prove out because that's what I thought.
Right,
and it did.
Now, Coach Abreu, all the experience you have coaching special teams for a number of years at the highest level and coaching Pro Bowlers, All-Pro players, and you talk about the youngsters. What is your take when you look how young he is, Stingley? And what I mean by that, I know you coached Deion Sanders in the return game, Clarence Vernet on and on. And then with the Bills, I can't think of his name now, maybe from Northwestern, that was the top returner.
Well, you better think of his name. It's Terrence McGee.
Terrence McGee.
You and him are on that Centennial poster.
Go look
at your poster in your bedroom.
I had a brain fart.
That's okay. Coach Averill. No, I know. But here, you're around all these guys, and you know what greatness is. Where is Stingley at? Because it seems like that he could be used in a variety of ways. We think of him as a cornerback right now. I could see him get his hands on the ball. I remember I'm one of the few players that threw Deion Sanders an interception and a touchdown. So I think Stingley could maybe have that kind of ability. But what does he need to do maybe to be a great punt returner? Because I think he has that potential.
Well, here's what I think, and I hope I'm not giving away anything that maybe Coach O should be talking about beside me. But I think he has all the ability to be that kind of player that you're talking about, because he is under the gun every play one-on-one. And you know how hard that is on a corner. When you're matched up and you're pressing and you're taking away a guy almost every play, that's really hard to do. And I think over the years that what I could glean from it, and I think what Stingley, Derek, is going to mature into, even the great, great ones, you know, when they were under the gun like that every play to prevent the pass completion or to take away the receiver, there's a little bit of conservatism in their punt returning, because they're so under the gun every play. And that play right there where they have to field the ball and they have to do things, they generally are a little bit conservative. You know, if that's all they were doing,
right,
they would be those guys weren't aggressive, because they were. They're the all-century team, you know. But I think he'll mature into being, not that he's not aggressive, I don't mean that. I mean, I think he'll be a little more going after it, a little more thinking, I'm going to make a play on this. And I think there's an evolution of that. And
the more experience he gets or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because I think he has all the ability to be just a phenomenal returner. Now, result wise, that didn't state that this year. And I'm probably guessing that's the reason why he didn't have the statistics. But
right.
I do think he has the talent. He did do this, though. He did do this, except for the Auburn game. He made sure, and he was smart enough. And this was part of it. This is part of it, too. Look, when you have that offense, which there can't be any offense that's been like that.
Right.
I mean, not in the level that LSU plays.
Coach,
you make sure that you put the ball in Burrow's hands, and that offensive. You don't take any chances. You don't do anything that allows the other team to have the ball when LSU should have the ball. So that's all stuff that played into it, and I think made it maybe where it wasn't as punt return friendly as maybe people expected out of a talent like him. But is he talented, like you said, Bobby? Absolutely. 1,000%. I mean, he could play offense. He could play offense even with all those receivers they have. And they got a bunch of them coming back that are great receivers.
Yeah. Coach, we got to go to break.
That Jefferson and Chase had, that's unbelievable what those guys did.
Coach, we're going to go to break, come back with more. Bobby April talking about the LSU football team. Bobby, consultant for special teams for the LSU Tigers, right here on the Big 870, right after this break. We're back here on the second guest show. Mike DeTellier, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Coach, I don't know if you've had any interaction with him, but in talking to Coach O, other guys on the staff, man, they tell me one of the consultants there, Jorge Munoz, man, is really a very good football coach. He's a former offensive coordinator. At that time, it was UL Lafayette, not University of Louisiana. He's a California guy, that sort of thing. Any insights on that? Because you hear it from so many different people that, man, Munoz is a really good guy to break this down, to take a look at kind of helping Steve and Joe in setting up that offensive game plan.
Well, I don't know. I have, I definitely had conversations with, I call him George, but so if I call him George, he and I have had conversations about different things, but I don't know exactly what his role is with the offense, but I know it's probably exactly like you say. I know he sits in all the offensive meetings. He's with those guys. He's got a ton of experience. What I do know is, because I've heard it from Coach O and I've seen it happen, he is a encyclopedia of information to Coach O regarding situations, timeouts, clock management, anticipation of certain events that can happen. So he is really a guy that is freed up to strictly think about those things, and he has tremendous talent and intelligence to be the guy that has that role. And I know Coach O just values him tremendously.
Yes, I've heard the same thing. I've heard the exact same thing. So,
no, he compliments him always on that.
Coach, one of the things is in teaching technique, special teams-wise, a lot of these guys, when they come out of the high school ranks, Coach, they ain't played a lick of special teams other than maybe being a returner. So from your standpoint, from Greg's standpoint of teaching technique on special teams, and convincing them, hey, listen, your best way to get on the field as a freshman is playing special teams. But sometimes these guys have never done it, and so it's a little bit of a sell job by the other players to get them to play on special teams and also the coaches.
And, Coach Abram, I want you to comment on that. And also, I know you got to be a big fan of, talk about a feel-good story, a poster child, of any player. What about JT Gray out of Mississippi State with the Saints? He turns into not only a Pro Bowler, but all pro. How can you not love JT Gray and his passion for the game?
Yeah. All of those guys, that have come up that route of special teams have had to slug their way through a lot of obstacles. And, certainly, you always, and you can look at Coach O the same way. I mean, he's had to slug his way through, over, around a lot of obstacles to get where he is. He's the king of the hill right now, and he's going to keep fighting and to sustain that king of the hill. But on that, and then the comment about the technique, I think that's the real great thing about coaching special teams, is it forces you to understand pass protection, pass rush, wide receiver release, leverage and tackling, leverage and blocking, running back skills, kicking skills. And you're right about that. Here's the thing that I always thought as a philosophy. In the movie The Bronx Tale, they show the kid, he only wants to do what he's rewarded for, and the dad's trying to tell him how to have a great life. And that's really like special teams. They only want to do what they're rewarded for, and you're trying to teach them how to have a great life in football and have a career in football. And so none of them come up really rewarded, like Bobby said, as a returner. So LSU is not going to give the kid from Destrehan a scholarship for how he blocked on the kickoff return. It's not going to happen. Now, how he plays linebacker, they will. But it's just not going to happen. So when he goes there, even if he played on those, first of all, maybe he didn't play because he thought that was for the JV players. So you got that mental obstacle to overcome. So you have to be a motivator to get them over that, you know, because it's a mental block. And then they have to do something. They have to run back, and then they got to block like an offensive tackle, and they've never done that. So it's real challenging from a mental and physical standpoint, and it's really the beauty of it. Now, you know, again, to get the guy, but to get the guys going in that. But I'll say this again. I know I'm sound like a propaganda piece for LSU, but right now, as we sit here and you look at that, there's not a better place that promotes what the special teams mean to the LSU program than Ed Orgeron. He plays a phenomenal role in the importance, in the responsibility and accountability, and eliminate, you know, a big part, especially for a team that has an offense like that and a defense like that. A big part of special teams and coming out of the game is you eliminated the other team from making a big play. You go, well, if you didn't make any big plays, what's so great about that? You eliminated them from doing anything to affect that offensive defense. And I think that is critical with a team like that. If you're the closer your teams are, the more you need to make plays to tilt it in your favor. And, you know, this Greg did a great job of recruiting and coaching this young kicker. I mean, Cade York is tremendous. He missed that 40-plus yesterday, which I know he'd like to have more than anybody. But, man, can you imagine coming into that kind of environment, into this type of team, and being the place kicker where everything is on you? And I say he came through with flying colors.
Now, Coach Haber, when you look at and you talk about the emotions and always said this, if you don't know what to go to school for and you know you want to go into coaching – be a psychology major. You know, you say, like, I'm going to go into business or whatever, because you're dealing with all different individuals and how you motivate them. I thought Coach Ho did an outstanding job. We talk about controlling emotions. You know, players can get too excited, and then, you know, coaches sometimes, they over-prepare, and the bottom line, what do you do under pressure? And, you know, you can play the game before you play the game. What I mean, you can't be at the pregame meal and all of a sudden, you're hooping and hollering. Wait, you got to wait. Slow your roll. You got to go to bed tonight, you know, even the night before a game, and to keep it in perspective. I thought Coach O did an outstanding job. And I don't know if I've ever witnessed this when you think of a number of games, going 15-0, that LSU really didn't have a bad game. You know, you might say, well, like, for instance, the Saints this year, when Atlanta came to the Dome, we better than Atlanta. And then all of a sudden, we had an off game. And that happened. It seems like the Saints have that like once a year. But the point being, to me, I was astounded. Should even Coach O, I think, mentioned that we really didn't have a bad game this year that cost us.
No, I think every game they were tremendously prepared mentally and physically. And, you know, as much energy and passion that Coach O has, and you know it better than anybody, because you know the origins of this guy,
right?
And Mike, you do too. I mean, you're an old Bayou rat, so he's been able to, in a very methodical way, you know, like the morning of the game and the day before, he's business and he's direct and this and that. And then there's a buildup that he starts taking right about, you know, an hour before the pregame meal. It kind of there's a couple of meetings in there that he kind of starts saying, you know, he starts letting them know that they're, you know, they're going to have to be at a fever pitch because they're going into a fight.
Right.
And then he kind of starts showing that. And then in pregame, he'll kind of show, you know, not kind of, he does show. He's, you know, he's him. And but all the other times, it's just a juggernaut of just they're just moving. They're almost, like I say, they're focused. They're silent. And the coaches are, the coaches coach very aggressively, but there's not an overkill of anything except driving for a mission of getting better. And boy, it's been a beautiful thing. I mean, they're rewarded for it. They're rewarded for it right now. I mean,
it's something special.
They have a chance to be, I would say, again, the best team that's ever played, but based on how they did this season, and to never have a letdown game, like you said. I mean, they didn't have that letdown game. They were ready to play every game.
Now, Coach Chamber, you got to be proud of your son. And obviously at University of Wisconsin, I believe coaching the outside linebackers. Did you get up, you and your wife, do you get to go see him? Boy, listen, you like a military, Brad. If you're coaching, you got to be willing to move. So you got to be excited for an opportunity he has for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah, he really loves the program there. He loves the head coach, Paul Crist. And they did have a great year. He was very fortunate. He coached a unanimous All-American in Zach Braun. And what's even better, the kid's an even better kid. You know, he's a great student. He's a great character. And they played in the Rose Bowl. Charlene and I went to 3 games this year, and then we went to the Rose Bowl as well. And, we're very proud of him. He's always been a great young man. I mean, he's always been a great son. And so, we're very proud of him and very happy that he's in a situation that's so positive and so prosperous, too.
Well, good thing he takes after Charlene.
Good thing. Good thing. Yeah, very good thing.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us tonight, man. We really appreciate it. Great insights on special teams, also about the Tigers and Coach O. And I remember you and I, we had a Tulane game, and we talked about Coach O, and it had been a bit of a rough start. I think that may have been right after the loss to Troy, and, man, he hung in there. Now, sitting on top of Mount Everest.
Yeah, Coach Abel and I go back to over 25 years with Coach Glanville. Fat Tuesdays on Wednesday.
Fat Tuesdays on Wednesday. Fellas, I'm proud and honored to be on the show. Thank you very much.
All right, Bob. Appreciate it. We'll be back with more second guests right here on the Big 870. Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTeglia, Bobby Abel, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go to Scott in Jackson, Mississippi. Scott, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you all this evening?
We're good. Thank you.
All right, Scott.
Hey, I'm a 20-plus year listener, but I don't remember calling in since the great Buddy D passed away, so it's been long overdue. I can't really add to anything that hasn't been said already about this great, phenomenal LSU team. But if there was ever a case of somebody stealing my thunder, it was Coach Abel. He absolutely stole my thunder because I wanted to give my dark horse, or really not dark horse, but somebody who has not been mentioned with all of the great coaches and players and everybody else associated with the program, strength and conditioning coach Tommy Moffitt.
Done a wonderful job.
He's got those guys playing at a high level for 60 minutes, and his entire staff needs to be congratulated. He was once national coach, strength and conditioning coach of the year, and he was also high school strength and conditioning coach of the year at John Curtis. So props to Coach Moffitt.
Amen to
that. Also, Mike, this is Scott in Jackson, and I want to thank you for putting up with my nonsense on social media, trying to be funny. And but it's all meant to be good because I respect you and admire you, and I tell this to people who don't know about you, and even those who do, you are, and I told you this in private, you are the walking human football encyclopedia.
Thank you.
I read your draft guide every year. I mean, it's incredible the amount of knowledge you have. You're better than Mel Kiper Jr. in my opinion. And don't even try to tell me that Linda doesn't help out with your scheduling, because you seem to be everywhere at one time.
She helps with – sometimes I forget of certain things. But no, nothing else football-wise, but she does help scheduling. Man, she does a great job with it. No pressing. No question about it.
That's awesome. You're blessed with that. And Bobby, yes. Your passion and insight into the game is great. We really appreciate you bringing it every week. You're not on the same level as Buddy D, but you do have your Bobbyisms, which we all love. And so,
but
Bobby K, keep up the good work. And and also props to Christian for kind of being the glue, the devil dog that holds things together. And it's really been a great show through the years. And this year in particular, it's been awesome to listen to between LSU and the Saints and all the other Louisiana teams that won in the bowl games. And also, I do have one complaint. All this season, Tony in Australia promised me a shout-out, and he didn't do it one time. So, Tony, if you're listening, I'm coming at you, buddy. And also, one thing about Coach O is everybody, especially me, loves a story of redemption.
Yep.
And anybody who knows the details, and everybody should by now, of what Coach O went through and all of the obstacles, some of them out of his control and some of them admittedly were in his control, that he learned from and that he evolved from and to where he is now to be at the pinnacle of college football is a beautiful story. I love stories of redemption. And all the kudos and congratulations to Coach O, and all of the great congratulations to everybody behind the scenes at WWL for bringing us such a great show all year.
Thank you, Scott. Man, we really appreciate that. And you know, again, we hear it a lot, but we certainly appreciate you. I know you're an avid football fan and listen to a lot of other shows. We certainly appreciate you sharing that with us.
Boy, and Mike, I don't know why it just came to my mind. You know what you might see? Because all of a sudden the interest in Coach O and this cameo appearance in Blindside.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, who might watch?
He said, Mike, I wasn't acting. I was just playing me.
Yeah.
It was easy.
But he did a great job with Sandra Bullock and stuff. So you might be able to get a little bit of Blindside coming up just simply because he's the hot item. And Mike, we didn't talk about him. Talk about a hot item. How about on the defensive side of the ball? I remember talking to Coach O in the spring because they have so much depth and Patrick Queen. And then you look at that linebacker.
He started as a backup.
Yes. And look where he was at, him being the MVP.
Man,
on defense.
All over the field.
Mike, he had 8 tackles, 6 unassisted. 2.5 of those tackles were for a loss. But to me, all but one of the takedowns, when you truly look down at his game, it all came in the second half, and how he contained in that second half with Travis Etienne. Mike, look at that. He kept him in check in the second half. And the bottom line, you know, when you have an opportunity to tackle, do you make the tackle or not? And you look at Etienne. Well, Mike, I think he had 14 yards rushing in the second half, and Patrick Queen was a big part of that.
No question.
Mike, because now I was frustrated in the Ole Miss game. Let me take the wrong angle, whatever, at times. But talk about a guy that is coachable and aggressive. And, Mike, now his stock, similarly, like whatever he does for him lately, that has to be rising in the NFL.
No question. He's put on some weight. He's physically gotten stronger. He's worked hard with Tommy Moffitt to improve that area. Always was a great athlete and could run. Now he's physically gotten stronger. His ability to get away. Because you're not going to take on a block and beat him. Come on, that's a 330-pound guy. But it's to maneuver around that guy. Patrick has done a fantastic job. We're going to go to break and come back, but, man, we're getting a ton of text about, you know, what happens with Joe Brady if he leaves, who would take his place. And one name to keep in mind, and I brought him up to Bobby, and I think that's George Munoz, who was at one time at University of Louisiana Lafayette. At that time, that's what it was, now University of Louisiana.
So, wait, he spells it J-O-R-G, isn't that Jorge?
But it's George.
Like Jorge or George?
It's
I don't know.
It's George.
I thought George is G-O-R-G-E. I thought Jorge, I don't know. Listen, if he does great as Joe Brady, we'll call him whatever he wants to be called. Jorge, George, whatever.
And he's a California guy. And so he's bounced around for, I think he's either 44 or 45 years old. But, man, I've heard so many good things about him from members of that coaching staff, and they praise what he's done to piece together a game plan.
The one thing,
and he knows, and he's worked with Steve in the past.
With Coach O, I know, and listen, Steve Ensminger and Coach O, you know why they love him? Paying attention to detail. The detail and the ins and outs to give you the edge in how you attack a defense.
And he was a former receiver coach, which that's what basically Joe Brady was doing. He was coaching the passing game, the receivers, quarterbacks, and George was a quarterback, offensive coordinator, receivers coach.
He's
a lot of blend there.
Listen, he's in those meeting rooms. He knows what the game plan. He knows what they're doing week in and week out. So we all love Joe Brady, but, hey, it is what it is. When you have a lot of success, you lose a lot of great coaches.
And you cash in financially.
With the territory.
We'll be back with more second guests right after this break on the Big 870. Welcome to the Saints Hour right here on the Saints Radio Network. Mike Dettelier along with Bobby Hebert. And, you know, there's so much blend, so to speak, between what we saw with LSU and certainly the Louisiana connections, Saints connections, last night when LSU won the national championship. The crazy thing about it is you think about Bill Johnson, the former defensive line coach with the Saints, now was the defensive line coach with LSU Fighting Tigers because of an injury to their defensive line coach, Dennis Johnson. Coach O went out and get Bill Johnson to come in to be their defensive line coach. Greg McMahon, former Saints special teams coordinator, now is the special teams coordinator for the LSU Fighting Tigers. You look at it across the board, Coach O, in 2008 was a defensive line coach for Sean Payton and now being the head coach for the LSU Fighting Tigers. So, Bob, there's so many little different connections here. When you look at Saints connections, Louisiana connections, we spoke to Bobby April, who also is a former Saints assistant coach, now is a consultant on special teams. But with Bill, with Coach O, McMahon, April, man, there's a lot of connect the dots there when you look at it and how that got pieced together for a national championship with the Saints, with LSU.
Well, and listen, it's all about relationships, and you get opportunities, and whether it's NFL, college, NFL, it's all about that trust factor. If you've had good working relationships with certain individuals, you tend to get opportunities where they're gonna want to hire you. Well, Mike, I'm trying to think right now. Who got opportunity? It wasn't Shanahan. I know it now. Mike McCarthy is now the head coach for the Dallas Cowgirls. Right? Who did he hire as a defensive
Mike
coordinator?
Nolan.
Okay, what happened in the past? Mike Nolan was the head coach. And he hired Mike McCartney as the offensive coordinator. So now the script is flipped, right? Number 49. Yeah. So in other words, it'd be like you and me. You would be a head coach, and then I'd be offensive coordinator. Then we get fired. And then one day I'm a head coach, and then I hire you as a coordinator. So that's where Mike McCarthy, when you think about it, Coach Nolan, who they took from the Saints.
One of the things I would always tell Coach O, I know your resume if I look at Bill Johnson's resume. Because for a while, they sort of followed one another.
Exactly.
Bill would go somewhere, and then he would leave and say, man, listen, why don't you hire Coach O?
If I can recall the top of my head, like I remember Bill Johnson leaving University of Miami and went to Texas A&M. And he mentioned Coach O.
And he went coach for Jimmy.
At University of Miami. So it maybe started at Arkansas. I'm not sure about that. But again,
well, and Bill was at Northwestern.
Yes,
and who took his place was O.
Yeah. And then you look at the whole McNeese. Bill Johnson, the LSU D line coach, is a senior. When I was a youngster, Bill's probably, I want to say, Bebe Coach O's 58. I'm 59. Bill would be like 62.
Yeah.
Something like that. So it's still all about relationships and its opportunities and who you could trust. And I think going forward, that helps LSU recruiting because that's both Coach Johnson and Coach O's wheelhouse is to get defensive linemen. Now, you could say, well, yeah, at any major school, you can get NFL coaching. For instance, the Saints D-line coach.
Ryan Nielsen.
But look at,
and look who was his mentor. Coach O.
Coach O at the USC.
And he hired him at Ole Miss.
And then you think about his back when all of a sudden the Saints hired him because the skins he was putting on the wall at North Carolina State.
And Coach O was trying to grab him there.
And so I'm telling you, once coaches find out, and it's a fraternity, everyone knows, once they know you can coach and you got a lot of skins on the wall, you have a lot of job opportunities. Now, it's not necessarily good for your family, because you're like a military brat, because you got to move. If you really wanted to coach, you got to be willing to move. I look at Coach O. Now, he's settled in Louisiana, does not want to go anywhere. But look where he had to go. From Natchitoches to Lake Charles to Fayetteville, Arkansas, to Miami, to Syracuse, to Los Angeles, to New Orleans. To Knoxville. And then back, I mean, come on. You living all over. Because it's all, look, Coach Chamber, we just had Bobby April on.
And Bobby.
Special team.
Bobby also.
Look, all of a sudden. You think his wife wanted to live in Buffalo, New York? Come on, he's a number of years, the Buffalo Bills. Hey, it's a great opportunity. I'm coaching in the NFL.
He was with, special we teams. All remember vividly the Steelers. That's why he was such.
Steelers, Jerry Glanville, the Falcons. He came to the Saints. No, you coach all over. If you know what you're doing now, you got to be willing to move. That you'll have opportunities, but no one would want to live. Now I'll probably get some hate mail from Buffalo, but come on. But no one would want to live in Buffalo unless you're from Buffalo. Especially and now if you have a job world. Opportunity, if you're from the South, why would you want to go live in Buffalo? Hello, no, I'm not. Might want to live in Toronto, the New York City of Canada, but I'm not living in Buffalo.
I never forget Frank Lewis. Now think about this, Frank. Grew up in Houma, went to Southdown High School. This is even before integration.
Yep, Southdown High School. It ain't there no more.
And so Frank goes to Grambling. And from Grambling, he gets picked by the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers trade him to Buffalo. So Frank's looking for a house. And all of a sudden, man, they see some nice houses. And the realtor was showing him around. Frank was like, why is that flag alongside the fire hydrant? She was like, well, wintertime, and the snow piles up so much, to find the fire hydrant, we got to put the flag.
Well, in case there's a fire or something,
in case
so
there's
they can
a
locate
fire,
it.
You can't find where the hydrant is. So the flag shows you where the hydrant is. Man, that's when you know. He said, Mike, that's when I really knew.
I'm not in Houma, Louisiana. but Mike, you look at the Saints and opportunities for coaches, players. You look at Drew Brees and where he's at. I think Drew Brees is coming back.
Yeah.
Drew Brees still has a lot left in the tank. And you might say, hey, Barry, you just like, you know, your wife even told you, why don't you marry Drew Brees? You love Drew Brees and Tom Brady. I don't know. Maybe I'm holding on to the older quarterbacks and trying to give them credit. But think of Drew Brees. He wasn't player of the month in September. He was player of the month in December. So that he had a bad game. A lot of our great players did not play great in the playoffs.
Look
they did not play great against the Vikings.
Brady.
Cam Jordan, Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk, Armstead. I can go on and on. Who truly we want to give a lot of credit? I don't know if we call them great, but they had great games. Taysom Hill and Deontay Harris was now they play winning football to earn the right to go play in Green Bay. But other than them, no. The Vikings deserve to beat us. Now, I mean, how we were in that situation, all I know is if you just objectively watch it like the Vikings 49ers playoff game. I don't know, the 49ers look at a different level. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have to do anything. Just don't screw the
pooch. Just turn around and hand the ball off.
Don't mess up. I'm looking at the 49ers got their defense coming back, D Ford and
Bosa's playing.
And Bosa, Quan Alexander, man. LSU coming back. And now that all I know is Dalvin Cook. Now, we stopped him in the second half, did not stop him in the first half. Did Dalvin Cook do anything against the 49ers?
Nothing.
I don't think he even had 20-some yards. I mean, so he put the pressure.
They slammed that door.
On Kirk Cousins. So that's just so frustrating because – when it's over, it's over. You're going to have great seasons. Think about this. We're 13-3. And then all of a sudden, we all know about the non-call, got ripped off to go to the Super Bowl. But this year, man, it was like over. You snap your fingers. It's not a series. I truly believe we're better than the Vikings. But they were better that day. And they beat us. No excuses. It's just so frustrating. Because think about this. I envision this. It'd be a football overkill, but I think we would love it. Who doesn't love to party, especially when you win and have a victory? But think about this could have happened. What if all of a sudden on Sunday, the Saints would have went to Green Bay and upset the Packers? And then last night, LSU whips Clemson. Well, I wouldn't. Now we all celebrating LSU. But think about the Saints who will be looking for coming up this weekend. Oh, we go to San Francisco. Payback. Come on. Can we turn things around? Can we come away with that win to go back to Miami? Miami twice, but it ain't happening. So.
We'll be back with more of the Saints Hour right here on the Saints Radio Network.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.